Okay, so let me just wrap something up real quick. We have had a series that we've been doing. It's called I Am a Pillar. You see these pillars around here today, and we've taken five of them and put them up front. It reminds us of the five pillars of the church. Now, let me remind you that when we talk about a pillar, and the reason we say I am a pillar, is that a pillar, in a structural sense, is something real strong. It holds up something like a roof line or something like that. And that's a structural thing. It's a thing. It's brick. It's mortar. It's a piece of concrete formed into a round column or whatever. And then there, we think also of people who have been pillars in our life, pillars in this church. We can go back and we can name men who did specific things for this church to be here today. But what we're asking you is to be reminded that this is about asking you to take on the commitment that I will be a pillar. Not some ancient person remembered, but somebody who's current and alive today, that I will take on the role of this pillar in this church. There are five functions in the church, five reasons God created the church. We've talked about four of those. We're going to talk about the last one today. The first one was fellowship. Remember, I am a pillar. We want you to actively be involved in fellowship as a pillar of this church, causing it to be strong and upright, causing it to be solid. We also talked about evangelism, reaching out to this community. We talked about discipleship. And last week we talked about serving. And today we want to talk about worship. We want to talk about worship. Now, we saved the best for last. We should have started with worship, actually. The first thing that God wants you to know is that when you were created, when you were born, it was a great day in His life. Let me take you to Scripture. Revelations 4:11 says, "You created everything," the writer says, "and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created." The Lord takes great pleasure in His people, according to Psalms 149. So the day that you and I were born, we brought God great pleasure. Listen, He made us. He knew what He was doing. So where do we connect in this? Anytime we bring God pleasure is worship. And the things that we do that cause God to be excited, to be glad, He watches us. Now, as I was doing this, I was thinking often about a parent watching their kids. And sure, it's great when your kids crawl up in your lap and tell you they love you and all this other stuff. And then they become like 14, 15 or whatever, and they really don't want you hugging and kissing on them, all this other stuff. Well, you just crawl up in their bed and hug and kiss on them anyway. Just drive them nuts. Just cause them to never be able to cut that umbilical cord. And I know a lot of us are probably trying to do that. But you know what? The coolest thing is not when they do that, but the coolest thing is when you get to watch them and they do something that's not connected with you. It's not them loving you, but it's them loving somebody else. Can you imagine how proud these parents, if they could have seen this kid take his shoes into a village and give it to another kid so that kid could go to school? What a sacrifice. I'm proud of that kid, and I'm not even his parent. Can you imagine what happens when God sees us do things like that? It's called worship. You may think it's called duty. You may think it's just being a good Christian. No, let's broaden that perspective, because what it really is, it's worship. And anytime we do something that brings God pleasure, it's an act of worship. It's not just an expression. It's a passion that we've all been built with. Worship is far more than music as well. Now, the reason I start there is because a lot of times, the only thing we really associate by that name, worship, is music. But can I just tell you that everybody that's not musically inclined or singing or a part of this, then you know every time you don't worship, then you know what? You're not worshiping if you don't have musical skills. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. So what do these guys do when they're not playing instruments, when they're not singing? What do we do when we're not singing? You know what? The Bible says that we are still worshiping Him in everything that we do. I'll tell you about that in just a second. Because worship is not for our benefit anyway. Sometimes we forget. We want to go to a worship service like this. We want the music to be good. We want the sermon to be great. You know, good luck with that. You know, we want all these creature comforts in a church setting and all these other things. But, you know, we forget. The whole reason we do this is for Him and not for us. It's hard to remember that sometimes because we get it turned around so easily, because we do want to be blessed. Who doesn't? We do want to just be excited. Who doesn't? We want to be happy. Who doesn't? But we do this for Him, and when we forget that, we're in trouble. We worship for His benefit. Listen, there are benefits to worship. I understand that. But we don't worship so that we will better ourselves. We worship because He is worthy of our worship. Isaiah 29:13 says this, These people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. What a horrible indictment of people who come and we know all the songs, and we know the routine, and we know how this goes, but our hearts really aren't in it because it's not directed toward him. We've got this whole thing reversed, and it's all about me. Well, I don't mean that to be making anybody feel bad. It's just that we need to be reminded and redirected that worship is about him. The next thing is this. Worship is not a part of your life. It is your life. It's the entirety of your life. You don't worship on Sunday between 10 and noon and then come back at 6 o'clock and then maybe kick another thing in there about an hour and a half on Wednesday night. Or when you do your devotion, when you read the Bible or you pray, that's not the only time you worship. Every moment of your life, you are in an opportunity to worship. You can withdraw from that if you want to. You can sin if you want to. You can backslide if you want to. You can reject all that if you want to. But every moment of your life, worship should be the first activity of our day. And it should be the last thing we do when we go to bed at night. Well, you know what that means, don't you? It's not about activity, and then I do this, and another activity of worship. No, it's just all day, all day. And if we could get that through our mind, then when we're driving down the street and somebody cuts us off, why do I keep coming back to these road rage moments? Maybe it's something in my life, you know? Why do we keep coming back to these things? I think God's trying to tell me something. That I'm worshiping when I'm behind the wheel, and it's not because I have KXOJ on. It's because I'm a Christian and I'm in the driver's seat. And you know what? I'm worshiping mostly. And we need to remind ourselves of that. When you're at work, you may think you're doing your job, but you're in a position of worship because everybody gets to watch you worship, including yourself. You get to focus on what you're doing. God's always on the back of our mind, isn't he? God's always on the back of our mind. Simply because he's not the number one thought, because you have things you've got to do, because there's a tool in your hand, or you've got your computer screen doing something on there, that doesn't mean that you've lost God. It's just a matter of that you have to be reminded that he is there. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, "So if you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." What did we say earlier? When you do something that brings pleasure to God, it is worship. And when you work hard and you give an honest day's work, Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. So let's think about this pillar of worship, this last pillar that we're looking at. If we're going to be worshipers, we need to ask this simple question. What task or job could I start doing as if I was doing it as unto the Lord? Most of us do that when we have a Bible in our hand or we're in a setting like this. This is unto the Lord, and the rest of it's just life. No, it's a life of worship if we can just remind ourselves and just allow that to bleed over into your life. Because if you don't, you have segmented God into certain aspects of your life and eliminated him from the others. That's not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. Because God's there whether you like it or not. He just wants to be worshiped through the things that we do. It'll change your life as well. If you start thinking about your life as an act of worship, it will change the way you live your life. It'll change the way you work. It'll change the way you look at your marriage. It'll change the way you treat your parents. It'll change the way you go to school. It's a powerful and a positive aspect that we need to be reminded. Let me close with just five things real quick. You see, I know that God loves it when we worship him. So let's see some ways that God loves him when we worship him. God loves it when we worship him by loving him supremely. I got to tell you, everybody knows when your kid's going, "Daddy, I love you," and they want $20 in the car keys. Everybody sees that when coming a mile away. Teenagers, thank you for the little giggle, but you know it's true. You suck up to your parents because you need something, you know? I started realizing that about Wednesday, I really started liking my dad and being nice to my dad because Friday was coming. He didn't get a whole lot on Monday or Tuesday. You see, we start manipulating. We should never do that. We should love God supremely. The way that we should love him is incredible. You see, God made you because he loves you, and he longs for you to love him back. He longs for you to love him back. Every parent in here, or every employer who bends over backwards to do something for your employee, or your kid, or somebody else, don't you just want them to just show appreciation? I've heard it a million times. I would do all of this for just a simple thank you. Won't they just say thank you? just a little appreciation. You know, God loved you. God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. Let that soak in just for a second. And all he wants in return is for us to worship him by loving him back. Not loving him equally. You'll never get there. But just loving him back. That's all he really wants. John, the 4th chapter, verse 23 says, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking, he is looking, he's watching for such to worship him." He's just ready for you to respond, and it'll change your life, and it'll change the way you worship, and it'll change God's life. You ever thought about that? Sometimes somebody, I remember this a long time, somebody in prayer said, "Lord, we just want to bless you." I went, "How do you do that?" You know, God's the one that blesses us. But this is how you bless him, by loving him. The second is by trusting him completely. Did you realize that trusting is an act of worship as well? If everything that we do is worship to God, then so is trusting. Remember what the word says? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God loves it when you use your faith. God loves it when you trust him. We sometimes hate, because of the human experience, to have to depend on God. But we're the ones that come up with the word depend. The word that we should be using is, I trust him. I just trust God. I trust God for this day. I trust him for our future. We trust him as a Christian nation for what's going on in our nation. Do we not trust him? So you'll use your faith in a positive aspect. Don't throw your hands up and go, "What's going on?" Trust him. I think he knows what's going on, and he knows how to take care of every one of us. The third thing is this. We know that God loves it when we worship him by obeying him wholeheartedly. Well, when you obey God, he loves it. He loves it. Now, I don't like this any more than you do, because I get a little convicted about it, but the reality is, delayed obedience is really disobedience. You know, I thought I got rid of this stuff. I thought I raised them and just got rid of them, you know? And they keep coming back. Problem is, they brought a little granddaughter with them. And now I have to repeat her name 4 or 5 times just to have her listen. And she doesn't clean things up. She is her grandmother. You see, I get to do that because Debbie, she has to work the next 3 weekends at the hospital, so I get to talk to her for 3 weeks. After that, I get to repent. But I just want to go. I'm going, "I love you. Look what this stuff is. My house is littered with garbage that I bought for you. You just stop and listen. It'd be great. Just pick that up." And she just keeps walking. You know? And then I realize that's okay, because I'm the grandfather. My job is to spoil the snot out of them, send them home. Doesn't work that way with God. God, you know, he loves it. He loves it when you obey him. When he doesn't have to yell, he doesn't have to scream, but you know what? He just says, "Do this, do that, go here, go there." And we go, "You know what? That voice is very familiar. That's God's voice." And we obey it because we love him. We obey it because we trust him. And God loves it. And you know what it is? Every time you obey God, you are worshiping our God. You are worshiping our God. So don't make it a war of wills. Just make it obedience. I love to obey God because it's an act of worship. 2 more things. God loves it when we worship him by praising and thanking him. Praising and thanking him. And listen, there's a lot of ways. We're not talking about the mechanics of praise, but we're talking about an attitude where we praise him, where we really love him, where we thank him. It's not about, "God bailed me out, so oh, thank you, God." You know, that's appropriate too, because sometimes God bails us out. Sometimes God provides us, and man, aren't you happy? I mean, the praise is easy and the thanks is there, but it's an attitude that we carry with us everywhere we go, that he is worthy of our praise and worthy of our thanks. You know, what more does he have to do to earn, if you will, deserve, if you will, your praise or your thanksgiving? Nothing. It's a decision on your part, quite honestly. God has nothing more that he has to prove. But we get the opportunity to participate. We don't have to prove anything either. He's never said, "Prove it." But he said, "I would really love if you would just participate." Listen, God is not some egotistical, you know, deity up there wanting all this praise. You know what? He wants you to praise and be thankful for, guess what? For your benefit. does your heart not change? Does God really need any more praisers, any more thankers? Does God need me to serve him to be any more God? No. But what happens is what happens in my heart when I have a thanksgiving and an attitude of praise. I'm the one that's changed. I'm the one that's changed. And that's called worship. It's called worship. The last thing is this. God loves it when we worship him by using our abilities. This is where it bleeds over into our lifestyles. And it's not just something in a function of the church, but when it bleeds over to our lives, our abilities. When these guys pick up the instruments and start using them, this is where God loves it because they're using their abilities. It's when you use your financial savvy. It's when you use your discipline. It's when you use the abilities that you have. We had men that went over to a house of a widow this yesterday. And man, they came with their chainsaws and stuff like that. You know what? Hey, most of us don't do that as a living, but we have that ability. We did an incredible amount of work. People are coming, showing up here. We've had volunteers doing all kinds of stuff. We had kids. You know, they don't do VBSs as a profession, but they could show up and just love on kids and run and kick some soccer balls and play football and basketball and cooking. Cooking was a class. I told them, I said, all right, I signed up for the eating class, but nobody else joined me. But we all participated. Just using your abilities. You realize that you have some unique abilities. Some of it has been trained. Some of it's just natural. But every time you go out there, please, please, please remind yourself that you are in the opportunity of worshiping God when you use your abilities for God. Not just when you walk into the church and you use your abilities in church. I promise you as the pastor, I will be more proud, more excited to know that you're using your abilities in a godly way through a Christian discipline out there than in here. We need you doing it out there a whole lot more than you did doing it in here. And that's how we'll reach this world. You know what? Bless Tiffany, her heart. Did you see her heart? It was just so transparent. And you know what? We could go downtown Tulsa and do that. We really could. But did you see how far-reaching her abilities? Now, you know, odds are that there's no one in her situation that is expected to not only survive what she did as a teenager, but to become someone like this doing what she's doing. It's an ability. Did it not make you feel like this is a wonderful act of worship, this young lady? God enjoys every activity of our life. Let me take you to Psalms 37. The steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. He delights in every detail of their lives. Now, I don't want you to be upset when I do this. But I'm going to tell you what. If some of you women, you clean your house, you may think it's just a job you got to do, folding laundry, whatever. Can I just tell you, it may not seem like worship, but God loves it if you have an attitude of worship when you're doing it. You know, some of you work jobs where it's not the funnest thing in the world. You get dirty. You know, it's a struggle. It's hard to cooperate with other people. There's a whole lot of stresses out there. But God loves it with an attitude of worship. You go and do these things that are your ability and your capability. Everything we do in this life except sin can be done for God's pleasure if you do it with an attitude of praise. I promise you, we have that ability, and it just lurks before us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. You know, it's almost it's almost undoing everything that I've said, but I'm going to ask them to lead us in worship. Now, I want you to remind yourself that this isn't a blinder moment where we just have these blinders and say, this is worship. But I got to tell you, I just want you to have a taste of what it is to worship. Now that we've talked about these things, you have an ability. It's called a voice. You have this contribution to this moment of worship. It's called a heart. There's something stirring within you. It's called your spirit. And right now, if you don't engage that, if you don't decide to worship him right now, in this setting, when will you and where will you? All God wants is for you to take an opportunity like this. This is what church is really all about. Church is just the dress rehearsal for the real thing. Church should be where we come here and we experience the love of God and we sense his presence and then we go out there and we deliver the love of God and we express and share his presence out there. That's what it's all about. Can we practice that just for a few moments? Not because it's musical, not because it's just a song, but if it's not the cry of your heart, you're going to stand for no reason and it's going to wear off before you get to lunch. And in the midst of the next few moments, if there's parts of your life that you know aren't worship, they don't line up with this book, they don't line up with the heart of God, then I would suggest to you that you lay it into His hands, ask Him to forgive you, cover it with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, forgive it, let it be done so that you can freely and openly worship. That's the coolest thing about this, that we can do that. Father, as we stand to our feet in the next few moments, I pray, oh God, that this won't be about volume. It won't be about how expressive we are, but that we will be responsive to Your Spirit. That this will be the opportunity to put into practice this new desire to be a pillar of worship. I'm not going to let the worship team do it alone. They may lead, they may select the songs, but I am going to worship. I'm not going to let Pastor Dave do my worshiping for me. I am going to be a pillar of worship in this church. I'm not going to let some other person at my place of employment be the example. I am going to be a person of worship, a pillar of worship in all that I do. I am going to do the best that I can. I'm going to make people proud of the way I work. I'm going to make them proud of the way I treat them. I'm going to make every waitress wish that they could wait on me every time I come to their place because I went with an attitude of praise. And it is a form of worship, the way that I embrace them. So now, Father, embrace us. Help us to leave this place pillars of worship in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Stand to your feet. Just join us together.